Good morning. Today I'm talking with Professor Leslie Harbin, head of the School of International Studies here at UTS. Leslie, could you tell us about linguistic landscape research?
Sure, thanks very much. Linguistic landscape research is relatively new, I suppose, in the area of applied linguistics. Although it sits within applied linguistics research, it's also being applied in fields such as architecture, advertising, education, just to name a few. Scholars by the name of Landry and Burris identified the concept back in 1997. They talked about the visibility of languages on objects that mark the public space in a given territory. And since then, other scholars are using it in regard to what they term as written and spoken texts and images in any landscape, including public spaces. Another scholar, Gorter, 2006, is defining it as use of language in its written form in the public sphere. And I think that's the one where I feel most comfortable, use of language in the written form in the public sphere. It involves applied linguists entering a landscape with a conceived research problem and set of questions, placing some boundaries in some way to delineate the landscape, observing within the landscape the linguistic aspects of that landscape, capturing the data as evidence, storing the data, then reducing the data through coding and categorizing and making meaning. And in my experience so far, I've just used my mobile phone camera to snap instances of linguistic and visual images in landscapes.
Thank you. And so what can we understand about a place and people in that place by reading the meanings found in the language of the environment?
Yeah, that's true. It is about the people who are in these places and the meanings made. The messages and texts we find in the linguistic landscape are, according to Shahami, Amara and Trumper-Hecht in 2006, symbolic constructions. That is, the messages symbolise neatly and succinctly what we as a society or groups in our society need to have stated about ourselves, for us to understand ourselves and for others to understand us. Messages and texts have the potential to allow us to read the signs and their underlying messages. The texts might simply be a label for a cultural activity, for example, simply outside a shop saying hairdresser, or the name of a city 100 kilometres ahead. And of course, other texts can advertise a product. Somebody wants us to buy something. Other texts can possess very powerful messages impacting our understanding of the world. And one around this precinct here at UTS is, of course, the UTS sign, Think, Change, Do.
Yeah, that's an excellent example. And I was wondering if you have any advice for our students in terms of how to research a linguistic landscape and other examples.
Yes, indeed. And they can find other examples of research published in this area in a journal called Linguistic Landscapes. But ideally, essentially, the researchers should have conceived the research problem and noted some research questions in their first instance. So it might be, what is the status of women in this city? And how do I know? Or how child-friendly is this area of town? How do I know that? And of course, in the case of my most recent linguistic landscape research, my question was, what is the status of food and nutrition awareness among primary school age children as evidenced in Indonesia's primary school environments? So once that question is formulated and the boundaries are set around the linguistic landscape, obviously I wasn't going to do all primary school environments right throughout the Indonesian archipelago. That would have been far too large. So my boundaries were set around two perimeters of two primary schools, and that was totally maintainable. Although it's publicly available data, students should think about the ethics of entering landscapes and what is the perception of people snapping photos in these publicly available areas. In my context, I made sure that the school principals knew what these researchers would be doing, poking around their perimeters, taking photos. So for researchers who'll be working through, walking through an urban space, which might not normally have photographers about, you know, there are strategies you could devise to easily allay the fears or concerns of researchers taking photographs in that environment. Then, of course, the next step would be to design a set of strategies and triangulate data sources. The definition of triangulation is, of course, using two or more data sources. We, in Indonesia, we knew we wanted digital images of the linguistic landscape. But to come to the question from another angle, we got permission to run focus groups with Year 5 students in those schools to find out their perceptions of the texts. We assumed that just because the signs were in the landscape, it didn't necessarily follow that the students knew about the texts or had read them. So the definition of triangulation of the data in these linguistic landscapes is an important one. Probably next, the data collection tool, the apparatus by which you're going to gather the corpus of data. Mobile phone cameras are so easy these days and so readily available. The iPad camera, obviously, and of course, digital SLR cameras are also excellent choices to gather the data. Then I'd suggest running a pilot or a test in the landscape. Get a feel for taking the photos in the landscape. Following that, I guess it's all about getting into the habit of downloading data to store the data sooner rather than later and labelling the data in storage. You think you'll remember, but gee, it's easy to forget when you've been into a number of landscapes. You know, it's easy to record your journey in the landscape in a mud map or take some notes in an audio file, for example. And then, of course, coding. To make sense of the data, you need to reduce the data and something like open and axial coding to reveal patterns and trends that are emerging in the data so that the data starts speaking to you so that you're able to answer your research questions.
Thank you very much, Leslie. I'm sure our students will go out and do some linguistic landscapes now.
I think they'll really enjoy it, Ilaria.
Thank you.